Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome into Flight Plan, or as Zach put it on Twitter this morning, flight pain. That's what it feels like at this point. After the Jets lose another game that, by all accounts, they should have won, 28-27, they go down at home to the Colts, a game where they started terrible, seemed to find something and turn it around thanks to Breece Hall and a lot of things, and then just gave it away at the end. We'll get into it. This is the Four Downs edition of the show, where we'll break down the loss into four different key moments. Zach, you were there, obviously.
Unfortunately, yes.
You took this thing in live. I guess before we get into the Four Downs, because you were there for all the boos and mock cheers and all the different things, how would you sum up the crowd on Sunday? And what was the attendance like?
Crowd actually wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, though. I would say I got there later than I usually do for these games, and I had no issue getting to my parking a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it was a perfect day, like beautiful weather to watch the football game and tailgate. So like, what better thing to do than,
yeah,
I will hopefully say drink a lot.
The fact that we're in the stage of the season where they're mockingly cheering for the guys, you know, Sauce Gardner making a tackle, gets a cheer. They get their first down just before halftime, gets like a mocking cheer. Like, it's, I mean, they deserve the mockery. They deserve the criticism, all of it. Like, it's, they were getting booed pretty quickly and the boos were getting progressively louder. And then they started to look pretty good in the second half, and the crowd kind of was getting into it, and it felt like they were going to win. And then, you know, inevitably, you know, they did the thing the Jets do, which is, you know, defense is supposed to be good. They stink at the end and Rodgers looks like crap and all that. But yeah, it's not going to look as full or as loud as it did today, I would say, after the bye week when they play the Seahawks. I imagine that will not be a good crowd. It's kind of nice that these are all 1 p.m. games, both for me and the fans. So maybe that will help the crowds out a little bit, like an excuse to do something on a Sunday. But I would probably, you know, your time would probably be better served elsewhere. I always like tracking how much the tickets cost when the team is bad at this time of the year. I think the tickets got to around like $15 a ticket before kickoff. I think it's going to be lower for the Seahawks game probably, and even lower as the season gets closer to the end.
Yeah, the weather gets worse. Things are even less, like, who knows? The TV broadcast leaned into the first down towards the end of the half. They kind of like shot around the stadium to shots of people standing up and clapping and all that stuff. It was ugly. All right, let's get to four downs. First down, let's go ahead to the fourth quarter and a decision. Fourth and two, the Jets have a chance with a first down and potentially scoring a touchdown to fully ice the game. They send the offense out there. Although the way the clock was ticking, I was like, I don't know if they're really going to be able to really go for this. It feels like they're already behind the eight ball. Yeah. And sure enough, they just try to get them to jump off sides. They don't. They kick the field goal, which puts them ahead. Not enough. Down go the Colts. They score the touchdown. A couple things before we get to, and I want your, you know, you were there for Rodgers and his reaction after the game.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but think about this play. During the 4 o'clock NFL window, the Bills are playing the Chiefs. the Bills are in like the identical situation. It's, I think it's 4th and 3. They're a little further back.
Yeah.
They have a chance to ice the game or to kick a field goal and give the ball to Patrick Mahomes. Now, granted, Patrick Mahomes and Anthony Richardson are not the same quarterback, but what did the Bills do? They put the ball in the hands of Josh Allen, who ran it, crazy scramble. Jim Nantz on the broadcast called it the play of the year in the NFL, which it wasn't, but great scramble, touchdown. The Bills grab hold of the game and win it. The Jets try to get him to jump off sides, burn a timeout, which was key, kick the field goal and let the Colts go down. I mean, ugh.
Awful. Look, so I probably would have gone for it. I don't necessarily fault them for kicking the field goal, but I think the way they handled it was just awful. Like
right.
You wasted a timeout. You're better off taking a delay of game there, frankly.
Yeah, because they were close enough. And they'd already kicked 58. And
Carlson had looked pretty good. Yeah. They found another good kicker, I guess. But I think a lot of that was the way Rodgers handled it, frankly. But Old Brick even said in retrospect, he probably made a mistake because he thought the defense could do their job, but they hadn't been doing their job, you know, really for weeks at this point. But Anthony Richardson was throwing the ball over them, which I kind of had a feeling was going to happen because that's just how it works with the Jets. But this is a guy who's completing like less than 50% of his passes, and he outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he was throwing to wide open receivers,
throwing to wide open guys, a lot of miscommunications on the back end. I'm sure we'll get into that last drive in a minute, but I think, and I kind of wrote this in my story, like that was kind of indicative of how far the Jets have fallen, where I think in the past they've had games where you have these moments where, okay, DJ Reed says at first they think they're going for it. So the defense is like getting ready to watch what's going to happen. And then they were trying to draw them off sides. They go to kick the field goal. DJ's like, all right, this means they believe in us and that we're going to go out there and stop them. And that's usually the start of a story about how a cool way that the defense, you know, did their part, and the Jets pulled out a win because the defense stopped them. But that's not what the 2024 Jets are. And so they come back out. They get absolutely diced up. Mistakes, you know, Anthony Richardson scoring another touchdown on a run. You know, Michael Clemens, I don't know if he was in on that play, but I know he was in on the earlier one where he just had Anthony Richardson one-on-one, and obviously Anthony Richardson won. I'm sure we'll get into Clemens because he's kind of like the – maybe outside of Aaron Rodgers, the most persona non grata of this fan base I've seen in a while. They actually hate Michael Clemens' guts. But yeah, it was just disaster. And so, you know, the management there was not good. And I think a lot of times people are understandably point at coaching for decisions like that. But Aaron Rodgers has his hand in a lot of this stuff. And I know it's easy for him to, like, you know, subtly or not so subtly throw these coaches under the bus, which he did yesterday.
Wasn't subtle this time.
Yeah, I mean, usually isn't as subtle as he thinks it is. And somebody even followed up to ask, and he didn't really change his answer. His whole thing was like, you know, if we were a good football team, we would have went and scored 7 or whatever it was. So, you know, I think Jeff Ulbricht is definitely out of his element in this job so far, and there's things he has not done well, and the defense has taken a really big nosedive. But Aaron Rodgers is as much part of this problem as anybody. He controls everything at the line of scrimmage. I know it's not necessarily his decision if, like, you know, I know he was very focused on how he wanted to go for 2 after that, their last touchdown, and everybody said extra point. And by all accounts, and everybody I've talked to said kicking the extra point was the right thing because the Jets don't have a good, like, you don't trust that the Jets are going to convert that. So you have to base it on what you have, and Rodgers can act like he's confident, but like they don't.
You go up by 8, you can't lose. Whereas,
I don't want to step on other down territory, but like their decision-making in 4th and shorts and like goal line situations was awful. They did a direct snap to Tyler Conklin that absolutely failed. Oh. Like, what are we doing? I don't know. The coaching was very poor. Play calling was awful. And that decision, I was not, I don't necessarily blame them for kicking the field goal, because what's your level of confidence that they, you know, convert and can actually score a touchdown and all that stuff. But I think the way they handled it and burning a timeout, so you had 0 timeouts going in that last drive, which, you know, I don't know if the timeouts would have helped them because they were an absolute disaster on that last drive. But I had a lot more issues than them kicking a field goal there. It was just the way they handled it.
All right, second down. Oh, let me throw this in between. I kind of, part of me feels bad for Ulbrich because if they play out this year and it goes however it is, but Salah's the coach, Ulbrich's still focused on the defense and the defense continues to play well, Ulbrich probably gets some interviews this offseason and maybe hits it out of the park in an interview, gets a head coaching job, has an entire offseason to acclimate himself to a situation, hire his own coaches, be fully staffed up and go.
Totally.
Instead, he's thrown into this disaster. Now, he hasn't made it any better. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, but there's no way that he gets an interview for a head coaching job this offseason after this.
I mean, it'd be surprising unless a team looks at him as now he has head coaching experience. I'll see what he has to say about what happened and why it happened. But yeah, I mean, if he wasn't getting them before, I have a hard time because they look like a real big disaster. Everybody, and we have to, as part of our job, we have to point out how much worse they've been on defense since he took over. And that's a fact. I think it's pretty clear. And, you know, I'll raise my hand and say I maybe was giving him too much credit for how good the defense was. I think it's pretty clear. Salah was another, even if he wasn't calling the plays, Salah was another voice in Jeff Ulbrich's headset on game day being like, hey, maybe Jeff, we should do this here. Like they're showing this or, you know, during the week, the game planning. Salah was not, I mean, he got more involved with offense this year, but he was more involved with the defense and the game plan and things like that. So, you know, I didn't give
Salah. Who else didn't realize that? You know who else didn't realize that? Woody. Woody. I don't think Woody realized that.
Yeah. I mean, because he's on Twitter, frankly, is why. But so, yeah, I think I, like many, probably gave Ulbrich too much credit and Salah not enough for how good the defense was. You know, I've emphasized this and like the whole Salah of getting fired thing, like they were not a good, well-coached football team with Salah either. Like people still need to stop acting like they were better off. I mean, maybe they were better off, but like they still were headed towards a bad season, I think. Like the off season was the time to make a change. But anyway, the Ulbrich thing, like, yeah, it's a tough, again, we've said it over and over again. He's in a tough spot, but I don't think he's done a particularly good job getting this team ready. The energy's been bad. And his post-game press conferences, you know, I know it's not easy to talk about this team right now, but he says, I'm going to take a hard look at that. He said that at least 10 times in last night's press conference. It was like, Jesus Christ, man, you don't need to take a hard look at it. Like, so like it was bad. Aaron Rodgers was bad. Like all this stuff. Like, I mean, again, you don't need to throw guys under the bus, but the messaging needs to get better for him if his goal is to be a head coach.
Yeah. All right. Second down, Rodgers, terrible decision-making and just inability, not wanting to throw the ball downfield. For the decision making, I just want to focus on the last drive and the fumble, the attempted lateral. And I said this to you before we started, but like I couldn't help but think back to Will Levis and down by the goal line against the Jets early this year, where he tried to lateral it for no reason and it gets fumbled and turned the game around. The Jets go on to win that game. This was worse than that. Like this was, I don't know what he was thinking, but like, this is a guy with all this experience and know-how and what to do. And he was thinking lateral in that moment. I don't know.
I mean, in the situation made it worse too, because it killed a lot of time. They didn't have any timeouts, like just absolute disaster. And then he takes a sack on third down or whatever it was. So like, you have to get rid of the ball. Like, what are we doing? Like this, just absolute embarrassment. The offense somehow since Devontae Adams arrived and he was supposed to unlock the offense and his chemistry with Aaron, the offense has gotten more out of sorts and looks like more of a disaster since they added this all pro wideout. Who Devontae, to his credit, I don't even necessarily think
he was actually Aaron, okay.
So. Yeah, he's made a lot of plays like after the catch. Like,
yeah,
Aaron didn't throw him the ball, I believe, until like late in the second quarter. So it's more on Aaron than Devontae. Like, I can't imagine Devontae will want to stay here without Aaron Rodgers, but I'd be curious to see if like they could talk him into staying depending on who the coach or quarterback is or whatever, because I still think he has something and with the right staff, like I think he can help. But anyway, I mean, the Aaron Rodgers part of it makes it complicated, but yeah. So Rodgers, like that drive was just indicative of who he is now. And over the last 2 weeks, he's only thrown the ball over 10 yards in the air 6 times. One completion. It was a nice play on the run. Hits Xavier Gibson on the sideline on like 3rd and 14. He got like 15 yards. That was a great throw. Probably is only like where you're like, wow, Aaron Rodgers throw in that game. But Otherwise, he's just scared to throw the ball down the field. And earlier in the week, he pretty much blamed the offensive line for why he doesn't throw the ball down the field. He said, you know, they need a block. They need to block it longer. Well, the offensive line has actually played pretty well, frankly. So, and he's holding onto the ball too long. And then when he was asked about it after the game, he blamed it on there being a lot of cover two. And, you know, you have to be patient and wait to find your moments. Bro, you were talking early this season about how the whole cover two thing was overdone. Like, I think we played the clip of him making fun of Mel Kiper. Like,
right.
You're supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. Like, what? Why are you scared? Like, it's, they just not, like, he threw the ball. Like, I think his first pass attempt was to Garrett Wilson down the field. Didn't really hit him. It missed him. I was like, okay, they need to do this more. They didn't. Like, he's been more scared than Zach Wilson was last year to throw the ball down the field. And so this offense is just like so like boring, and they have to be meticulous and have these long drives in order to score. Or you need Breece Hall to take a dump off and run it in for a touchdown, which he did. Like, Breece Hall had a great game, and they don't throw to him enough, frankly. But like, Aaron Rodgers' best moments have been like guys doing stuff after the catch, it feels like. And so he's very clearly 40 years old. I don't know if it's his Achilles or his other injuries are making him resistant to, like, you know, taking shots or whatever. He had a couple runs where he looked pretty good, and then he would still just resort back to just dump off short throws, inaccurate throws. And, you know, I tweeted this yesterday. I have a hard time believing this offense wouldn't be better with Tyrod, because at the very least, Tyrod Taylor takes shots down the field, maybe to his detriment to a degree. But I don't know. This is so, I mean, at this point, the goal probably isn't even winning. It's just pride now. It's Aaron Rodgers going out, not looking like, with a whimper. You know, Jeff Ulbrich trying to prove himself. So they're going to try and win. But I don't know. I'd give Tyrod a look, or, you know, Jordan Travis. Maybe I'll ask about him this week. I don't know what his status is. It doesn't seem like they're any closer to activating him. But I don't know. I
kind of love to see Jordan Travis, yeah. Just because, like, it's the great mystery.
Yeah. I mean, I hear fans tweet at me about him or comment about him every now and then, but like, I don't have an answer because I don't even think the Jets know what he is, because he basically broke his leg his last time he was on a football field. So, and he hasn't practiced all year. So I think that's more just like a lottery ticket, and you hope that it maybe becomes something, or it becomes a backup or whatever. But I wouldn't attack this thinking Jordan Travis is the future, because there's no evidence of that. So,
yeah. All right. Third down. We'll get back to Anthony Richardson here.
Yeah.
Dicing up the Jets defense. And I said it mainly because there was a lot of guys who were wide open. Let's start with that go ahead touchdown drive and that play specifically. And maybe we can just focus this on that, because that pretty much sums up what's going on with this defense, right? Where they kick the field goal, the Colts get the ball back, and you're like, okay, they can stop Anthony Richardson. And blown coverage down the sideline where Sauce hands off and the coverage isn't there behind him. Yeah. 39-yard play. From the moment that completion hit, I assume I wasn't alone. All Jets fans thinking, oh, they're going to lose.
Oh yeah, in that moment it was like inevitable at that point. And I wrote this, and I don't know if this is what Sauce intended, but it's what happened. Like, you hear a lot about how we can't resort to finger pointing, like where everybody in this locker room is going to stick together, but their Sauce was like literally pointing his finger at Jalen Mills when that play ended. Yeah. I think he was more trying to be like, you were supposed to be over there, but literally his finger came out and he pointed. And so that just like was the moment where I'm like, all right, they're toast. The season's over. And not because of that necessarily, but it was just like perfect, like, image. And that's why it was my lead in the story. And so, you know, I just, you know, Sauce, again, I think his like decline has been over exaggerated. He definitely has not been Sauce though. Like, he still was giving up plays. He missed a tackle. He made a tackle. He's still a good corner. He hasn't been an all pro caliber one. You know, you're not going to have an all pro year every single year. I think he's still going to get paid a lot. I'm curious what the Jets do about that this offseason. But yeah, I mean, that play, that drive, just indicative of how far the defense has fallen. And, you know, even beyond the coaching part of it, I think we've probably overestimated the talent on the defense, because there's so many more holes. Joe Douglas destroyed that defensive line. And I know they lost Jermaine Johnson, and that was a huge, huge loss in retrospect. Even in the moment, it felt huge, but feels bigger now because he was good against the run. And, you know, just a competitor, like, he brings energy. They've missed him. But, you know, Joe Douglas gets rid of Bryce Huff, JFM, and Quentin Jefferson, who wasn't very good this year for the Browns. But, you know, three guys are really good for them. Gets rid of them, brings in Hassan Reddick, who has either not played all season or has not really made an impact other than like his presence being on the field. They surrounded Quinnen Williams and Javon Kinlaw, who was, you know, they paid Javon Kinlaw, I think, more money than JFM's making this year. So I think that in itself is like evidence that they made the wrong choice, because JFM's had a pretty good year for Denver. And JFM ultimately, I think, is their biggest loss they've had this offseason or this last season. Like they, he was not only a leader in that locker room, but like a versatile defensive lineman that was good against the run. And they've been an absolute disaster in that area. And you have Will McDonald, who's kind of like gone quiet since Hassan Reddick came back, was having a good year, but yeah, really bad against the run. So you have, all you have is Quinnen Williams, who you can rely on, and you're playing Michael Clemens 60 to 80% of the snaps, which is a disaster. And you're playing Eric Watts a lot. You're playing Brady McGregor. You're playing, you know, I know fans like Leonard Taylor, but the fact that they're playing all these undrafted rookies and early in the season, you have Tack McKinley getting significant snaps and Solomon Thomas, who's a rotational guy at best. And it's just like the talent is not there as much. The safeties have been a disaster. Tony Adams was benched, replaced with Chuck Clark and Jalen Mills. You know, the safeties have been bad all year. And so you really have, you have Sauce, you have DJ Reed, you have Michael Carter, you have Quincy Williams and Jamie and Sherwood, and you have Quinnen Williams. And around them, it has not been very good. And so the defensive personnel, Joe Douglas deserved credit for building it up the way he did, and he also deserves blame for kind of tearing it down. They're going to lose DJ Reed this offseason, and they kind of have to rebuild from scratch almost. Like, you have Jermaine coming back, you have Quinnen coming back, you have Will McDonald. So you can be okay with those three, I guess. But yeah, I just think this defense has taken a nosedive for a lot of reasons. Coaching is a big part of it. But, and I think CJ Mosley's absence is a bigger deal than people realize, because I just think he's a stabilizer of sorts. So, you know, anyway, the defense taking a nosedive has been the biggest surprise of the season, probably, but, you know, maybe shouldn't have been as surprising as it is.
All right, finally, fourth down. I guess this is, we're going to try to do a, like a positive spin here at the end, which is, you mentioned the offensive line being playing pretty well, despite it not necessarily looking like it because of what's going on everywhere else in the offense. But Olu finally gets his start. I haven't seen the PFF numbers. I don't know if you have them, but John Simpson also at the left side. Yeah. Interesting to see. But what did you see from the offensive line on Sunday?
I mean, I thought they were, for the most part, pretty good. Like, it wasn't perfect. I do think there was plays where Aaron clearly held the ball too long. Here, I'm pulling up the PFF grades right now. Had Olu pretty solid, like a 65 overall, 70 pass blocking, 68 run blocking, gave up a sack, three pressures. Like, he's going to have his bumps, but I think he clearly needs to be their left tackle the rest of the way. And the kind of weird part about how bad the Jets are is that it kind of feels like Joe Douglas finally fixed the offensive line. Like, I think they're pretty, that's a pretty good group. And I would bring back Morgan Moses if he's willing to come back for not too expensive. Maybe you draft a tackle to develop behind him. But you have Olu here developing. John Simpson looks like a bargain, like one of the signings that, as time goes on, looks even better because they got him in his prime at a reasonable cost, kind of like the DJ Reed signing. And he looks really, really good at left guard. Joe Tippmann, I think he's had his bumps. Those goal line plays, a lot of that times that's on the center, like the Tyler Conklin one, or just in general how they struggle to convert those. Like, that's Tippmann struggling, but I think he's been fine. AVT has been kind of inconsistent, but I still think when he's healthy, he's a solid player. And Morgan Moses is solid. And so I think that's, if you have five average to good offensive linemen, that's much better than the Jets have had in a long time. So I think if you want to say, like, what's going to be appealing for whatever incoming head coach or offensive coordinator, I think you can say, well, they have a pretty good offensive line. They have Breece Hall. They have Garrett Wilson. Like, that's right there. Like, that's an offensive core that's more appealing than most job openings usually are. So, like, that's the most encouraging thing to come out of this season. You know, the Tyron Smith move was obviously the wrong one. Ultimately, I get why you take a flyer on him for a relatively low cost, but it's very clear why nobody else wanted him. He was not good. Even if his PFF grades, I don't really get what they're looking at, but, yeah, you feel good about the offensive line. I think Garrett Wilson still is looking pretty good, even if Rodgers isn't getting the ball. Not to flip back to negative again, but I think Jeremy Ruckert has been a massive disappointment. He had a really bad drop that was initially called a fumble return for a touchdown, but it was really, really bad. And he's been a bad blocker too. Like, they drafted him like number one because they thought he was going to be helpful in the blocking game, and he was not. Whereas Kenny Aboah now has made a good catch, at least one catch, like every week, where you're like, oh, that's not bad. He had a touchdown catch that was pretty good. 11 yards. I think it's his first touchdown of his career, actually.
Yeah, it was. First career touchdown. Third they catch need, of the season.
They're probably going to have to completely revamp that tight end room because Conklin's a free agent. I don't know if he'll be back. So you can't rely on Ruckert as a starter. In retrospect, I think there's, you know, Olu's their left tackle of the future, so I still don't blame them for taking him. But I don't know. There's a part of me that wonders what this looks like if they get Brock Bowers, who looks like already a top five tight end in the NFL. Like, he's been really, really productive for the Vegas Raiders. But, you know, again, at least they picked a player who I think will be good in Olu. So it's not as bad as, like, you know, when they didn't draft a receiver when they drafted Will McDonald or whatever it is. So just something to think about. But yeah, the offensive line is absolutely a positive as you look forward, I would say. Even if you say Morgan Moses isn't coming back, and you tell me you're going into next season with Olu, Simpson, Tippmann, AVT, that's 4 out of 5 still. And you could get an average right tackle in free agency if you need to, or you draft one in the first round or whatever it is. So, yeah.
All right. That's our four downs. I'm kind of looking forward to the next show this week. Yeah, we're going to kind of play a little bit of a game. We're going to call it Stay or Go. We're going to go through...
I think Will Parkinson's going to come on.
Oh, okay. We're going to go through all the significant people on this roster and just say straight up, stay or go heading into next year. That should be a good way to look ahead without having to think about the game coming up next Sunday directly. So enjoyable. We'll get through it. Thanks everybody for joining. Actually, like, pleasantly surprised by the amount of people who have tuned in this morning to catch this thing live. If you're checking out the audio, we appreciate you too. And we will talk to everybody again later this week. Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.